You had an offer you couldn't refuse, didn't you?
Yes. I was honored to be a guest of the Dalai Lama down in San Francisco.
Oh,
got
my.
To stay up on Nob Hill at the Mark Hopkins, and we all were housed in the same building. And it was really special because a lot of religious leaders throughout the United States and outside of the United States came together under one roof, acknowledging their right to be able to speak with one another. And I felt it was really good because I've always said there's one creator but many paths. And so that was really a special thing to have them to do. And I was so honored to be a part of that, to be able to speak about us grandmas.
Maybe we should just start tonight with a little bit of your history, if you'd be willing. I don't think you mind if I tell folks that you were born 82 years ago, and I would love to hear you tell about your story, about where you've come from.
Well, I'm a virtual elder of the Confederated Tribes of Sillette and the Sillette's Oregon, and I'm very honored to be supported by my tribal people as I journey, and I really care about my tribal people. I grew up there. I am down here now because I feel kind of pulled, because the Trail of Tears started from down here by the Table Rocks.
Down by Grants Pass, is that where you are
yes,
now?
I'm yes, I'm at Grants Pass, and my people were driven from here, and that's how come I became born up out of a little place called Logston, Oregon.
Ah, the band that your folks were a part of was driven out of the...
Yeah, the Tequilma. Yeah,
the Tequilma. Yeah.
The Tequilma Indians, and, well, all the Indians were driven out of here, but they lived here, the Tequilma Indians, in this valley for 22,000 years. It's been documented, and when I cooked for Martha Stewart a few years back, she said, can anybody attest to living in one place for 22,000 years? My people thought that the Creator created this land just for them, for living here for so many years, and having to leave it the way that they were taken out of here was really a terrible story.
Would you be willing to share it, or would you rather talk?
Well, the first reservation was down here, and, of course, the gold was found in the rivers, and that's what prompted everything and started that.
Gold rush.
But before that, there was an edict issued by the Pope. He was the Pope Alexander VI in 1493, and that was, they called it a doctrine of discovery, and it was based on a fallacy whereby land inhabited by millions of people, you know, this that they said that they discovered it, and this is why Columbus came. Many of the people from around the world decided that they would come back and start killing the people off and take the land, and that's what was behind it, was an edict issued by the Pope back there in 1493, and so the Trail of Tears started all over the nation.
Yes.
First Nation people was a terrible thing that happened. Many tribes are completely wiped out, and to this day, we still don't have justice, we still don't have equality, and it is a sad thing at the educational level that we have reached in this world that we are still being put upon. And us 13 grandmas have this edict. Many tribes have given it to in Oregon and up in Washington, and I've sent it to the Congress of American Indians, and we have a letter of 13 grandmas off to the Pope to see if we can't get an audience with him next year. I am praying, along with many, many people where I've traveled, that we can have that audience to ask the Pope if he would rescind that edict. He was not there in 1493 to be a part of it.
I know you've got some big plans, and I hadn't heard about that one. I hope that comes to be. Yes, that's another meeting of the 13 grandmothers.
We'll all be together.
Wonderful.
And it'll be really a great thing. And then after that, next month, I'll be going to the UN, and they will fill me in what all that I'm supposed to be doing with the grandmas, because we came together the first time in the history of the world on October 11, 2004. We all gathered in a little place called Phoenicia, New York, and out of that was a Menlo Park. And we all share those same concerns. One of the big concerns, of course, is for us to pray for peace because I think we're coming together at a very crucial time in the history of our world.
Well, yes, and I imagine some other people are, such as the Dalai Lama, are looking at that as well.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. So we come together to, we're really concerned about the destruction of our Mother Earth and the things that is happening to her. We as First Nation people call her water, her blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as I've journeyed on, all over the world, water is bad everywhere. And even to Australia, they had me to come over there to pray for the Murray Darling River that crosses the continent and empties into the Indian Ocean, and that they, it's all so polluted. And I said, well, the swimmers in the water didn't do the pollution. It's us two-leggeds doing the pollution. And you need a voice in Parliament to get some legislation to get some funding to work on your river. So since that, quite a few years back now, they've got a voice in Parliament, and they are trying to do their best with their river. But this is a sad thing all over the world.
You've traveled some around the world, too, so you've seen some firsthand looks at
right,
water.
And I've been down in South America and on the Amazon, and I told them at least you could put signs up and say this is not a garbage dump,
mm-hmm.
you know. I told people, if you hear the sound of my voice, listen to me. Go run some water in your bathtub, and then go jump in it. And then I'll come along and throw in some garbage, and how would you like that?
Mm.
Because that's what we're doing to the swimmers in the water, and
yes.
making a garbage dump. Not only that, our president's dumping toxic waste in big drums down there. I don't know what he's thinking, but...
Well, here in, up north by the Columbia River, people are pretty worried, too.
I know, and of course he doesn't believe that there's global warming, and and we do know that that's a scary thing for one of my grandmas up in the Arctic. There's a lot of evidence of that up there already.
Yes, one of the grandmothers is Yupik from up in Alaska.
Yeah,
yes.
Rita Blumenstein.
Yes, I'd be interested in what you remember about what she had to say about...
Well, you know, when she was, Rita, when she was 9 years old, her grandmother gave her 13 stones and 13 feathers and told her when she was young, you will know when you get to be a grandma what these will mean.
Oh.
And so when she brought them with her when we gathered in New York, and that was really a wonderful thing to share with us. I've been touring this country for a long time, for over 15 years, and talking about spiritual blindness, talking about people being a voice for the voiceless because the trees can't speak and the water, the air, and so on, to be that voice. And I just been doing that for a long time. Now I got 12 other voices to join me, and it's just really a great thing to be with them.
So about the grandmothers, how did you manage to connect with each other?
For myself... They watched my walk here and down here for 4 years. If it was true, was I walking my talks? Then the woman that is now vice chair of the Center for Sacred Studies that helps us grandmas, and she met me. I do a women's conference over here out of Williams, Oregon every year. And so she was there, and I'm always over there with them in helping women to empower themselves, trying to stop women abuse, you know, and even talking to women not to be abusing anybody, not even their children. And I fight around here for our children's safety and a lot of things, for peace, for help in any kind of crucial problem that comes up, that there's somebody that round that can handle those things for our people. Because I think that there shouldn't be any more abuse, you know, that... We're really all of us against that kind of treatment.
And people just have to learn, I guess, one abuser at a time, that there are other ways to get your needs met.
There's a better way of discipline, you know?
Yes.
You know, I didn't beat on my children, because if you beat on your kids and then they grow up and marry somebody that's going to beat on them, and so that abuse just goes on, and young kids think that's normal behavior.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Well,
and you know, and so we're really, all of us grandmas are against any kind of abuse, whether it's verbal or whether it's physical.
And I know that you folks have said some beautiful words. I've got in front of me the statement that you made. about who you are, who came together for the first time, October 11th. Should I read that? Would that be all right with you to kind of give people an overview? I really liked the words. Okay, so you start, we are 13 Indigenous grandmothers who came together for the first time from October 11 through October 17, 2004 in Phoenicia, New York. We gathered from the four directions in the land of the people of the Iroquois Confederacy. We come here from the Amazon rainforest, the Arctic Circle of North America, the Great Forest of the American Northwest, the vast plains of North America, the highlands of Central America, the Black Hills of South Dakota, the mountains of Oaxaca, the desert of the American Southwest, the mountains of Tibet, and from the rainforest of Central Africa. Affirming our relations with traditional medicine peoples and communities throughout the world, we have been brought together by a common vision to form a new global alliance. We are the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. We have united as one. Ours is an alliance of prayer, education, and healing for our Mother Earth, all her inhabitants, all the children, and for the next seven generations to come. It's about halfway through it, and I think it's really beautiful. Shall I go on and read the rest
of
it? Okay.
We are deeply concerned. We are so deeply concerned with the unprecedented destruction of our Mother Earth, the contamination of our air, waters, and soil, the atrocities of war, the global scourge of poverty, the threat of nuclear weapons and waste, the prevailing culture of materialism, the epidemics which threaten the health of the Earth's people, the exploitation of indigenous medicines and with the destruction of indigenous ways of life. We, the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers, believe that our ancestral ways of prayer, peacemaking, and healing are vitally needed today. We come together to nurture, educate, and train our children. We come together to uphold the practice of our ceremonies and affirm the right to use our plant medicines free of legal restriction. We come together to protect the lands where our peoples live upon which our cultures depend, to safeguard the collective heritage of traditional medicines, and to defend the earth herself. We believe that the teachings of our ancestors will light our way through an uncertain future. We join with all those who honor the Creator and to all who work and pray for our children, for world peace, and for the healing of our Mother Earth, Aho. I believe that all of us, you and I, and all of these adult peoples and mothers and grandmothers and aunts and uncles, we are not the ones that own this world. It is the children. And yes. I think that I've been traveling all over this world telling people, you know, you're not the owner of this world, it's the kids. And it's up to us to see that we can keep it in as pristine beauty as we can for the seven generations ahead. And this is our job to try to talk people all over the world to be able to join us, all those who are under the Creator, and to all those who work and pray for our children, for our world peace, and for the healing of our Mother Earth.
Well, you know, I know there are a lot of people here in Oregon and Portland who are just in absolute agreement with you and are so glad that you're doing this. Where have you taken your message outside the United States?
I've been to Madrid in Spain, and I've been to Zaragoza, an international group over there not too long ago. I've been down in the Everglades. I've been up in Alaska. I've been all over in Canada. I've been to New Zealand recently. I've been down around to South America and all to places down to there in Bukaker and riding the boat in the Amazon.
Oh, my.
And talking to the natives down there. And they're all excited and hoping to be able to, praying that we get an audience with the Pope to rescind this edict that was issued way back there of the killing of our people all over the world. And so I've been to many places. I've been to Asia and Thailand and way down by India and Lumbini and way up out of Kathmandu and talking to people and about their water and trying to get people to do a better thing with their water. And it's pretty hard over there out of Nepal. they don't have burial grounds, and everything is cremated and thrown in the rivers, and they're just green slime. The oxen get in it and get green. Kids get green. Children have to be wormed every 6 months. And
is one of the grandmothers from Nepal, do I remember?
Yeah, Uma Bamba is from over there, and I'll meet her on the 1st. And I'm the chairperson. When we were in New York, they elected me as the chairperson of the 13 grandmas. And, of course, I just froze in space. I was totally dumbfounded. But I love them very much. They're all wonderful sisters to me. I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest, and you're that busy. How do you do it?
I know. My kids, they marvel at it, too. And, of course, I attribute that to my creator helping me to be this voice. Mm-hmm. And traveling me and giving me the words and keeping me healthy and keeping me going, because I am crippled, but I'm not handicapped. But I do a lot of things. I teach all over this valley and all around the world. And even though I teach, I'm still a student. There's so much to learn. When the New Zealand Maoris came to Willamette University here a while back, that's the eternal thread. And a beautiful people with their weavings of their capes. One of those capes takes them over a year to make, and they run as high as $125,000.
What are they made out of?
They're made out of hemp, some with feathers, some with... They have some beautiful abalone over there. And it's many different colors hemp. I've been over there, got some of them looking at right here that they gave me, and they're beautiful, and they have the... they strip them down. It's green, and then they peel it back, and then it's light underneath. If they want, and then they dye it with some dyes that they make, and then to make the black, they bury it in the ground for a day.
Did you trade some of your teachings from your people, and did they trade some back with you?
Yeah, well, yes. My Bud Lane and Robert Kent of my tribe went with me over to New Zealand, and they make baskets, and they made baskets, and they're over there, and then we left them over there in a museum. And so that was nice and wonderful. People, and then I came back, and they sent me up to Evergreen College out of Olympia to bless some more that were up there. And then I stayed with them over there in New Zealand, a beautiful people. And I stayed with John and Rose White. And he's the medicine man. They both work in Parliament. I have my 111 tattooed on my chin by one of their master tattooists.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. You had a tattoo, and am I right that this was once a tradition of your people,
yes,
but it was lost?
Yes, it was my family. And but since I had that done, it's been 140 years in the Sletch tribe. And my daughter was after, got hers done after I did. And so I'm very happy because I've been trying to get it done, and something always came about that I couldn't get it done. And so I'm very pleased that I'll leave this world with it on and meet the others on the other side, and they'll be happy to see it.
Could you say again, because I wasn't sure that I got it, what it is?
It's wisdom and strength. And some of the people, my great aunt had that on. Frances Johnson had her 111, and it was for her wisdom when she was alive and a medicine person. And I'm very happy that I was able to put that on, and it was amazing because a master tattooist, when I drew up what I seen in my vision years ago, the other tattooist that was with him had already told him what it was supposed to look like. So And so I was just overwhelmed because that was another affirmation that I was doing the right thing.
So the design that you had dreamed, had visioned many years ago, was actually the one that the Maori
He'd already seen it and told the master tattooist what it looked like.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, I just get a chill when I hear of these. I've always called them synchronicities, when these happenings that kind of match up come about. And
I don't think we tap into the spirit world enough. And I think that's the thing that they wanted to be done this way. And then I finished it over there. When they were at our tribe, they were all singing beautiful, beautiful. And then when it got through, some of our tribal people sang too. And so when I went to New Zealand to have it finished, because there were so many wanted some tattoos done by him, that I said, we'll finish it when I went to New Zealand. So I went over there and finished it, and hundreds of voices singing over there when I was having it finished. And so it was, to me, a wonderful blessing. I was just filled up spiritually by getting it done. They call it a muko. We're all connected to all things. We all have a job. You are a human being, and you feel like you want to reach out and do something. There's a lot of things you can do. You can use your voice and speak about to young people and young kids in school about recycling, about not throwing things in rivers and in the waters. And there's a lot of things that you could do. It doesn't make any difference what color your skin is. It's all of us. We're all in this leaky canoe. And we're going to sink if we don't all get to doing something for our Earth Mother. Well, she sounds like she's kind of in this asphalt jungle you call a city.
Yeah.
But even so, you know, you can ride a bus somewhere. You can talk to people about a lot of things. I go around talking about the cool burnings that our people used to do because the trees all around here are dying from moss and mistletoe and ivy because there's been no burning over 200 years. And so the trees are getting choked down. And though there are some trees being overrun because they need to be propagated by fire. And so I'm hollering about that all the time, too. And I'm talking about pollution, what the things that we use and the burn. And I get very concerned about baby diapers, disposable plastic diapers. It's one of the biggest things that is causing pollution. What can they do to change? And we can talk to our politicians about making better fuel for our cars so we won't be polluting the air. And a lot of places that you could raise your voice and do a lot of things. My tribe sent me up to a little place out of Estacada called Carver, Oregon. Because they brought back some condors. You know, our people way back when I was a kid used to call those condors Thunderbird. So I was able to go up and do some prayers for those mews that they built out there to Carver, Oregon. And they got the condors back now, and there's some babies born in captivity that they will be training how to live in the wild. But now my Mayan grandma that's on our committee, she says it's going to be a great thing because when the condor meets the eagle, there's going to be a great change. So I'm praying that I live long enough to see this great change, and I'm really working toward that. I'm really thankful to my Creator that helping me to be a voice for all people, all grandmas, all grandpas, and to try to fight to save this world for the children. So I need everybody within the sound of your voice out there to join in and bow your head once in a while just to give thanks. You know, yesterday was history and tomorrow's a mystery, but today is our gift and we can lift our voices up together and give thanks just for being. And to give thanks for the Creator watching over us and allowing us to live one more day. And that's the way I live my life, like I'm going to die tomorrow. I got a T-shirt that says it's never too late to save the world. Mm. I would like to host our grandmothers here, too, somewhere.
Oh, that would be great here in Oregon somewhere.
Yeah, with my tribe doing something, and I'll see what can be worked out on that. We've got some things in the works, and hopefully with the Creator's help, we'll pull it together. So hopefully our message will get out to the world soon enough that people will be able to read of what each of us are doing and what each of us want from our land. I'm very proud of the grandmas. I have two grandmas from Pine Ridge. I have one from Montana, a Hopi grandma from down south, me here in Oregon, my Arctic grandma.
And is are you meeting up in South Dakota, do I remember, next year?
Yes, we're going to be up there, too. We're going to go up there with our grandma. She's turned 80, so I want to go up there with Rita and Beatrice Long Visitor Holy Dance.
And you're her older sister now.
Yes. Yeah, that's really nice. So, you know, I watch over them like a hawk when we're together because I watch them if they're getting enough rest. I'm watching them if they take their medications. I watch them if they're warm or if they've got the right kind of foods and if they need drinks and what kind. And so I really look after them.
Well, I think that must be wonderful, and I bet you do a great job. I got to ask, though, how do you look after yourself?
Oh, I do really good. Creator takes care of me. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Creator. I've been at death's door many times. I've had some major cancer surgeries, and I've been a survivor now since way back in 92. And I fight hard for them, not only here on this radio, but wherever I travel. And even when I'm in groups, I sit on a board here with all these doctors in this county, and they hear it, you know, about my journeys. They have my pictures, and they have all I have. And I keep everybody pretty much informed of everything. I'm dragging one middle daughter along with me, too, getting her feet wet. And, you know, we're all connected, and I love all people. I don't look at people's color. I look at their hearts. But again, those are my biological people, but then I have a lot of adopted kids and a lot of adopted grandkids and great-grandkids, and I feel like the old lady in a shoe, but I love it very much.
Well, you're certainly a role model for a lot of us. We need people who go ahead and point the way and kind of show us where we need to be going and
work with your water department up there and keep the Columbia clean and keep the Willamette clean.
Oh, boy, do we ever. We've got some good activists up.
I praise the watersheds down here because they carry on the ancient one's unfinished job. Mm. When they left, you know, they left a good landscape. Mm. And we're not nowhere near that yet. But the watersheds are working hard to try to keep a balance in all these things, and I commend them for that. Mm-hmm. And anybody else that works out there in recycling and talking to children about the do's and don'ts of the Mother Earth, you know. Mm-hmm. It's really a wonderful thing to have a gift to be able to talk to children. Mm-hmm. What, not to be shooting the birds and not to be throwing things here and there and on the streets. I never allowed my kids to throw anything out of my car window. I said, that's our Earth Mother out there. Why do you want to throw things on her face?
There you go. And you know, when I was a little girl back home on the East Coast, I can remember people just, well, this was 55 and more years ago, people would just, like, they'd eat candy and they'd toss the wrapper, and yeah, we never noticed it. But it's taken us a while, but now we notice. But
yeah, the cigarette smokers. Mm-hmm. There's cigarettes all over the place. They should carry a butt can and put them in.
There you go.
Yeah. And, well, they're killing themselves at a rapid rate if they smoke. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say that once you get emphysema, it's not reversible. I've seen a lot of people die from those cigarettes way back there even, and now they got more carcinogens in them than they ever did.
Well, originally a lot of Native folks did smoke natural
right.
herbs,
they
didn't
grew
they?
Their own tobacco.
Yeah.
You know, but even so, you know, I think that the Creator wanted us to have a smoke in our lungs. He'd have created it in there in the first place. But here we are, you know. It's bad enough to breathe some of the air we have, let alone cigarette smoke. But I want people, you know, to grow up to be an elder. You know, they can honor themselves about growing up and being a grandparent. It's one of the greatest gifts that the Creator gives us, so that rites of passage, you know.
And do you think maybe it's a little easier understanding once you get to be an elder, too?
Right. You're more tolerant, or you should be. I know some grandparents are really ornery. With my one foot in the grave, I don't want to be ornery to anybody. You know, I think that my old people told me a long time ago, when you have hatred and anger in your head, you're giving that person power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just don't have any anger or anything in my head to anyone. And I'm glad to say that. I'm proud to say that.
Yes. Well, and you have been given the gift of having the life you've had, and you've done so much with it that you can kind of inspire us all to...
Right. We're out there with the help of the Creator and these people in the Center for Sacred Studies that helps us. I'm an open book, you know. What I do is I have nothing to hide. You can't hide from the Creator in any case, but I have nothing to hide from my public or my tribe or my children or my community. I'm out there doing what I possibly can every day. We need to fight for her, for she sustains our life.